The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Market View Wrap on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero, joined by Vince Srinivasan, Associate Editor from The Straits Times, and Jeff Howie, Market Strategist from the SGX, to make sense of all the financial news, economic data, and corporate report cards released this week. Before we do that, let's take a quick look around the region. Asia is pretty much in the red more than it's not, with only Australia and Japan currently in the green. The SDI is down 0.7% at 3,160 points. Japan's Nikkei is up by 0.04%. South Korea's Kospi down by 1.4%. Australia's ASX up by 0.5%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng down by 0.9%. The Shanghai Composite Index down by 0.3%. We bring Jeff Howie into the conversation to give us the broad strokes of all the economic data, market news, corporate report cards we've seen all this week. It's been so much, Jeff.
Yeah, it has been a shorter week too. I mean, because we've only had three and a half sessions for the week, we've had a reasonably narrow range for the STI. I think it spanned highs of just above 3,200 on Tuesday afternoon to around these 3,160 levels at lunch. So it's brought the total, moving third quarter to date gain to just under 1%. But dividends have had a big impact on that. They've boosted the total return of the index, I think, to as much as 1.7% in the over the past 6 weeks. Now, regional COVID cases do continue to weigh the region, and that's explaining much of that red you just mentioned before. But really, if there are three things that are driving everything, it's the earnings, it's the Fed speak, and it's also the regional COVID-19 cases continuing to drive the stocks. If you look at that third quarter, as we said, we're in the 6 weeks, we're up 1.7%. It's placed us among the top three Asia benchmarks for the past 6 weeks. Now, that's up with Nifty, it's ranked third, but Nifty is the strongest, up 5%. And interesting, Indonesia's Jakarta Composite Index is up 5%. And on those Indonesia returns, you've got five sectors that make up just only one-fifth of the Jakarta Composite Index. I think it's technology, utilities, real estate, consumer discretionary and energy, but they've all posted double-digit gains since the end of June. And look, we've seen Indonesia report more than 50,000 cases of COVID-19, remember, back on the 15th of July. But since, daily cases have come back to the 30,000 level, and the number of vaccine doses to date has doubled since the end of June to around 80 million. But for Singapore, I think on the earnings, back to Singapore, the really broadly stronger earnings season, it was really foreshadowed, though, by those advanced GDP estimates. Remember, they were right at the beginning of July, we were expecting the estimate to be 14.2% back then on the initial advance measure. That was based on April and May data. And then midweek this week, I think it was the 11th of August, it was confirmed to be up 14.7% with the upward revision to the full year growth of 6-7%. But that it usually does act as a bellwether, your advanced GDP estimates. And that has really set the tone as well. To exemplify that, look at Singtel, which is one of our five most traded stocks on SGX. It was the most traded stock yesterday by turnover after it reported its turnaround quarter, I think just under $450 million of net profit from a net loss of $20 million for the same quarter a year ago, attributed to this basic improved operating business environments and, of course, that stronger Aussie dollar. And we saw Thursday the trading turnover of Singtel was over $150 million, and that's more than double its average daily turnover so far this year. And look, when you look at the overall global telecommunications sector, since the 26th of July, you've seen Singtel really outpace the $4 trillion global telecommunications sector. Singtel's risen 8% compared to flat returns for the global $4 trillion US sector. And that means that Singtel's underperformance to the global sector, it has really, really closed a gap from from underperforming the global sector by 12% back on 26th of July to just 3% as of present. And then you've got the banks. They're also among the top five traded stocks. They're up, I think, around 3.5% so far in the third quarter. And the past week has supported the banks as well. You've seen U.S. Treasury yields really increase across the curve. And the end result of that is the 2 to 10-year U.S. Treasury yield curve has steepened from 100 basis points to around 113 basis points this morning, and that's in the space of a week. And that has supported global banks that obviously borrow short and lend long. And the catalyst for that movement in the yield curve has been those increased calls by members of the Fed Reserve to explore tapering the asset purchases. And that's pretty much been a message from many Fed members since the end of the FOMC back on 28th of July. We should also quickly mention DBS did form that new high, all-time high, back on the 11th of August at $31.74. And you got to note that when you look at the screens today, you'll see DBS is down 37 cents. That's a measured move because it had a 33 cent per share dividend going ex-dividend today. And then OCBC is also down 34 cents today. But bear in mind, it also had a 25 cent per share interim dividend also going ex-dividend today. So that's pretty much, that's the top four stocks by turnover. Singapore Airlines, it is also our fifth most traded stock this year. So so we've got the banks, Singtel and Singapore Airlines making up the top five traded stocks here. Singapore Airlines has, as we know, gained 5% since the end of June, and that consensus ratings marginally did firm following its June quarter results. But look, many international carriers like Singapore Airlines, they're all in the same boat. Globally, airline stocks, they're down a little over 20% since the end of 2019. Singapore Airlines is down exactly 20%. And if you look also at the 15 stocks that make up the regional Bloomberg Asia-Pacific Airlines Index, they are also down exactly 20%.
All right, we'll come back to the aviation sector in just a bit. Let's talk about the big news, international news of the week. It was the U.S. Consumer Price Index, which increased 0.5% from June and 5.4% from a year ago, according to Labor Department data released, what was it, midweek? I can't even tell anymore. There's just been so much news. Now, excluding the volatile food and energy components, core CPI rose 0.3% from the prior month and 4.3% from July 2020. Whilst all of this was pretty much spot on with what economists were forecasting, did this come as any relief with regards to inflation concerns? I'm going to ask you both this. Jeff, why don't you start?
Yeah, look, I was watching it on the screens when it happened. I mean, you know, the new when you're working from home, your 8-hour days, I think, really start at 8 o'clock and finish at 8 o'clock. If you're watching the screens at 8:30 when it was released on Wednesday night, you could hear a pin drop in the markets before it was released. So there was quite a bit of anticipation before it. But the number was pretty much exactly in line. And if you are looking at inflation from a producer price, commodity rally-led cost push type of driven event, then the number did make quite a lot of sense, given that we haven't seen commodity prices really push through across the curve from those May highs, and hence we didn't see any acceleration in that global inflation number, but it's the US inflation number, but may as well be a global number. But look, one thing that happens next week, which will provide a little bit more insight to it, is the Fed FOMC meeting minutes, which I think are out 2 a.m. Thursday morning. That's going to be interesting because the press conference in the 28th of July FOMC following that, there was seemed to be quite a bit of focus on inflation, and Jerome Powell, the chair, even talked about the impact of crude oil being a key commodity price on inflation. So, you know, there might be a little bit of a part two to that story and its impact on the markets, Clarissa. But overall, a muted impact because the numbers did come in pretty much as expected.
All right. Now, Ven, you wrote an article about this in the Straits Times. How does this affect any inflationary concerns here in Singapore?
Well, we are seeing inflation in particular sectors of the economy. I mean, the price rises all around, particularly in asset markets. That's the most noticeable. And in particular, property prices. There has been an inflow of a lot of cash into Singapore, into the markets. So, you know, but you got to take all this in context, you know. You got to take it into context again, because all this is happening against a very low base last year. Last year was a deflationary year. So whether you're talking about inflation in Singapore or inflation, U.S. inflationary data, we are all talking about a period we are potentially going into a reflation. Reflation means there will be some endemic inflation, at least in the early stages. Mm-hmm. But whether that flattens out is to be seen. But one would suspect that as supply side picks up with the demand side, things should flatten out and normality should return.
All right, now we talk about something that is news that will come. Sembcorp Marine has announced a renounceable rights issue to raise 1.5 billion Singapore dollars. SCM will issue 3 rights shares for every 2 SCM shares held by a shareholder. The issue price will be 8 cents per rights share, a 58% discount on SCM's closing share price of 19.1 cents on June 23rd. When the rights issue was announced, as this is a renounceable rights issue, shareholders can sell their rights without taking up the offer. In other words, the rights are transferable and can be bought or sold on the stock market. Now, the thing is, there are going to be people who are confused by this. They might hold Sembcorp Marine shares, Temasek Holdings via its subsidiary StarTree currently owns 42.65% of SCM. It has committed not just to taking up the rights entitlement, but also subscribing to excess rights up to a cap of 67% of SCM's enlarged share capital. SCM will hold their extraordinary general meeting on the 23rd of August to approve the rights issue. The rights issue has raised several questions. This is one of them. What is a mandatory general offer in a rights issue? I mean, for an investor, that's already very confusing information, Vem.
Okay, in any rights issue, a shareholder that owns between 30 and 50% of shares, whether individually or in concert, will trigger Section 4 of the Singapore Takeover Code if it acquires 1% more of the enlarged capital of the company, of course, post-rights. If Section 14 is triggered, the shareholder has an obligation to make a general offer to purchase all the shares held by other shareholders. This offer has to be made immediately after the rights issue and is therefore a mandatory general offer. It's sometimes called a compliance offer, as it's made in compliance with that takeover code. So that's what an MGO really is.
All right. Now, we asked Jeff this from the perspective of the SGX. From an investor's point of view, what else should they be aware of prior to August 23rd?
Yeah, so August 23rd is the EGM, right, at 2 p.m. That's not this Monday, next Monday. Mm-hmm. And look, this is the Sembcorp Marine tapping the market again. The first time it wasn't enough. This time it believes the capital will enhance the liquidity position enough so that it will have the ability to meet its operational funding requirements right through to the end of 2022. I think investors, if you want to look at the bigger picture, there's resilient investment has been a mega theme of 2021 so far. So the timing for tapping the market, and as Sembcorp Marine positions itself for growth in unprecedented times. That's how it's. That's if you look at the presentation deck that's associated with the EGM. That's how they're approaching this as their narrative. You can see, though, I've got to say, resilient investment has been played a huge role in the stock market. So the timing's kind of right. In a way, if investment, if the fixed asset investment, the investment numbers, capital flows, and so forth weren't so much coming through, and liquidity wasn't so high across the world, then it might be a little bit tough. But at the moment, as we say, we're seeing, for instance, people are investing. Investors are investing. We've seen it. We saw PropNex's second quarter net profit after tax. I think it grew. Was it 135%? Apex Realty. It grew its net profit in the first half of this year by 120%. And then IFAS back in July reported its net profit increased by, I think it was 94% year on year in the first half. And then, as we said, we've got the banks as well, DBS, OCBC and UOB. As part of their recent earnings, they also report their wealth management net fees and income. That came to 1.99 billion Singapore dollars in the first half of this year. So that's tripled from around $700 million back in the first half of FY14. So as UOB noted, wealth management fees are reaching record levels amid returning investing confidence on the market recovery. So we've seen this, for instance, CapitaLand as well, as you know, is going through this really important restructure. If you look at the two peers, global peers that it looks to place itself as a real estate investment manager, that's Brookfield Asset Management and Blackstone. They've both averaged 60% price returns this year. So the stock market's telling us that investment resilience has indeed been a very strong theme this year. So, as we said, that's an important backdrop for this. But of course, that EGM is on the 23rd of August, and it's really important, I think, for investors to ask a few questions, obviously find out a little bit more. And it would be great to have some type of Q&A forum for this.
All right. Now, before we move quickly into aviation, one of the questions that investors probably have, given the trend of this year with big mergers and companies going private, is with Temasek's involvement, will Temasek privatise Sembcorp Marine or retain its listing status, Ven?
Well, okay, as you mentioned, Temasek owns almost 43% of Sembcorp. All right, and it has... It has undertaken to buy whatever rights that are not subscribed, up to 67% of Sembcorp's, Sembcorp Marine's enlarged share capital. In all likelihood, Temasek will end up as, will cross the 50% mark. Will it privatize Sembcorp Marine and retain its listing status? Well, according to Sembcorp Marine's own circular for the AGM, it says that Temasek has indicated that it will retain the listing status of Sembcorp Marine. So it's quite clear that Sembcorp Marine, whatever, at the end of the day, will remain a listed entity on the Singapore Exchange.
All right. Now let's move to the aviation sector. It has been suffering. But earlier this month, SIA Engineering Company reported an increase in net profit for its first quarter ended June. Singapore Airlines reported in its first quarter narrowed net loss after a boost in passenger and cargo flow revenue. So, other green shoots. Do we see light at the end of the tunnel, particularly for SIA?
Well, sequentially, yes. We are seeing quarter-on-quarter improvement. Their passenger numbers has come up 28%. To come up to 28% of 2019 levels from 5% of 2019 levels, right? Passenger load factors during the first quarter was up 4.6 percentage points to about 15%. Mm-hmm. This was all at the end of June. I suspect now, July, August, things would have improved even more.
Right.
The other day I was golfing at Tanah Merah. I heard a lot more planes landing and taking off,
right,
mostly SIA planes. So, I mean, in terms of cash balance, debt ratio, shareholder equity, cash burn, all the trajectory in the right direction. So we are seeing an improvement. how fast that improvement continues or goes, what kind of trajectory we see, will depend on a lot of factors, not least of which is how this whole COVID situation unfolds.
SIA right now in the green, up 0.2%. Jeff, can you tell us what we can expect for next week before we run out of time?
Yeah, sure. So a little bit more Fed speak. Jerome Powell, he has a town hall discussion with educators on the very early Wednesday morning side of Tuesday night, while Fed's Kashkari is holding a town hall on the economy right after this. So that will be important. As I said before, the 2 a.m. Thursday morning, we have FOMC meeting minutes. In Singapore, we've got July NODEX numbers out, 8:30 in the morning on Tuesday. And I think consensus estimates is for a moderate marginal decline month on month from June. We have another 30 or so stocks going ex-dividend next week. A much, much lighter earnings plate, though. And no G7 monetary policy meetings next week, but Japan does have its prelim second quarter GDP data out first thing Monday morning at 7:50 a.m. And of course, what we're all looking forward to, or all looking forward to an update on, I guess, is the phase 2 heightened alert scheduled to end, I think, on Wednesday.
Right.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. And with that, this has been Market View Wrap. Gentlemen, it's always a pleasure. I always learn so much when I speak to the two of you. I'm Clarissa Montero, joined by Vince Srinivasan, Associate Editor at The Straits Times, and Jeff Howie, Market Strategist at the SGX. You're with Money FM 89.3.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.